Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Well, what a privilege it is to be at Bethel in Brandon, Manitoba. Yay! Love Brandon. My family lives here, and I have to tell you, it's just a privilege to be here. You know, I'm going to go through some slides rather quickly, and the beginning ones I think are going to be rather quick. And I want to talk about human trafficking because it happens every day. You know, when I first came to Bethel back in the day, I was telling everybody about human trafficking. And I went after the service, and everybody said, "No, we don't have any human trafficking in Brandon." And then I would go to Parliament, and I was ostracized about bringing up the subject. And I work with police forces all across this country. Last year, the Winnipeg Police Force honored my foundation, and they're doing it again this year. And actually contributed $32,000 to my foundation. So you don't get that because someone likes your blue eyes. You get it because after 20 years, you've helped the police force. That's why you get it. And believe you me, policemen and women are no fools. They know the real McCoy. And I was so appreciative of that. And recently, you had 20 Johns taken down. You could have had 120 folks. There was a joint forces unit between Winnipeg and Brandon, and they did an exceptional job. Do you know how hard it is to do those investigations? But do you also know that when a John is caught, that their car is impounded?
That's
good. You ain't seen nothing yet. Then they're charged $800, and then they have to go to John school. Unfortunately, they don't have a criminal record after that, and that's my bias. Some people say, well, they shouldn't have a criminal record. I'd like their faces on the front page of the local paper, but that's just me. Sorry, Lord. I ask forgiveness all the time for my bad thoughts. But you know, I've worked with victims for 24 years, with survivors of human trafficking. It's not pretty. You know, I brought a girl here a couple of years ago. Do you remember Jessica? Who was here when I brought Jessica, the traffic victim? Well, you know, those girls go through so much that as Christians, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. And believe you me, do you need the strength when you've worked with a girl and you think everything's okay and she's come to know the Lord and then things happen? And this little girl, you know, she's had three children out of wedlock, and she got in with a guy, and she's a Christian girl. But the horrors they go through are unimaginable. And you know, even with me, I can't unsee some of the things I've seen. And you never want it to happen to your child. You never want it to happen to your child. And it happens so easily. I'm coming out to the teachers' conference and presenting on human trafficking this year in October here in Brandon. So all the schools around will know about that. But this little girl, you know, she called me and she says, "Oh, Mrs. Smith," she says, "my partner was murdered." And that was about 3 weeks ago. And she has two little children, one a new baby, and she's 20 weeks pregnant again. So, you know, these girls go through a lot of things. And they're like you and I. If you met them and you loved them, you would understand they're just like you and I. But they're humans. And, you know, we all sit in church, and I sit in church, and you think, well, you know, I've lived a pretty good life, all the rest of it. But our sins are the same as her sins, as anybody else's sins. And we're saved by the grace of God, period. So anybody who gets sanctimonious and thinks that's not the truth, you might think again. You know? And I go all over the world. I've just been invited to the Vatican to go out there in November. I hope I have time to do that. I'd really like to go. It's my third invitation. I've always said no, but I just got to go this time. Because across the pond, and I've been to England and to Ireland since I last saw you, and Ireland has passed the laws, replicated my laws I had here in Canada. You know what? It doesn't matter if you have an English accent. It doesn't matter if you belong to another religion, as long a lot of those people have received Christ as their personal Savior, and that's the key. Because that's when you get the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't mean to say that your families or anybody else's family is going to be perfect. That's not going to happen. But what our responsibility is to always love them up. Our responsibility is to always to pray for them. Now, that's not a whole lot. You know, everyone has often said to me, not everyone, but people who know me don't say this, but other than that, there's people who say, why aren't you retired? Really? What am I going to do, sit on a beach all day? I don't think so. I'd get so bored, I'd probably swim to the other side, and it wouldn't be so good because I wouldn't make it. But the fact of the matter is, it's not that. God gives us our nature, and He gives us our calling. So my calling isn't ended yet, folks. We're expanding, we're building, we're going all across the nation, talking about human trafficking. And the pastor's right, I don't get any money at all from the foundation, never have. I think it's quite a well-known fact now. Half the world thinks I'm crazy, and the other half thinks, oh, well, you know, this isn't really true. So I really don't care. Facts are facts. And you know what? God has been with me. And you know, the foundation, since I came here to Bethel, has just exploded. We have offices in Alberta, offices in Ontario, offices in BC, and we're opening another office here in Winnipeg. In Winnipeg, Manitoba, very soon. I think we're supposed to be in by September 15th. That's because we're training. We feel that education is our greatest weapon. Because you know what? I went to Parliament and passed the laws, and I thought that fixed everything. And I learned about it from my son, who's a police officer and who was in the ICE unit. And I saw what it did to him. And as a mom, I felt what it did to him. But even when he told me, I kind of thought, well, I'm not sure this actually happens in Canada. I was one of the others, the naysayers years ago. I've been in it 24 years, so that was a long time ago. But when I started giving seminars, because I was a teacher for 32 years, I wanted to be a principal. I have my master's in mathematics and science. I do nothing but add all day now. But the fact of the matter is that when I started giving the seminars, like every teacher does, the girls started showing up, and I saw the tattoos on their arms. And they belonged to someone, like a piece of cattle, like a cattle. They branded them. I was enraged. And that's what really drove me to politics. And I initially went provincially, but it's not provincial jurisdiction, it's federal jurisdiction. In my ignorance, then I thought, darn, got to go federally now. And so they told me, oh, we'll give you this riding, but you'll never win. So I took it under advisement, and I ran and sat in that riding for 12 years, passed two laws, because I didn't do it, God did it. And that doesn't mean you don't have to work. I worked day and night until I felt I was going to drop. And there's sometimes, honestly, I'd like to sit on my lanai in my home and bake cookies and watch we live on 8 acres and just watch the scenery, God's scenery. That's what sometimes I'd really like to do. But that is a very fleeting moment, and it goes very, very fast. As soon as a kid calls me or something's happening, and our offices are so busy now, and it's saving lives. So we've gone into the education piece. So let's go back and talk about what is human trafficking. We're just going to skip through about these three slides. I've already told you what human trafficking is. And let's go first slide. And you read for yourself, so we're going to go kind of fast. So what is human trafficking? Can you read that, guys? Little blurry, eh? Well, people buy and sell others. That's what it boils down to. So you have a perpetrator who don't have to read it, I'll tell you anyway. What happens is a perpetrator targets a young kid. The average age of entry into the sex trade in Canada is 12 to 14 years old. That's been documented. It also is the fact that they make between $260,000 and $280,000 per victim per year. That's why they do it. It's big money. You heard about the guy who just committed a quote-unquote suicide in jail. Well, nothing will ever convince me. You as a cop know what suicide watch is, and you know what they do in jails, and suicide watchers, cameras on them all the time. And God bless you. Stay safe. But the fact of the matter is, every cop, everyone who works in a jail knows suicide watch. They watch the person very closely, but now this person is dead. So, you know, there's a big price to pay for selling, buying, and selling kids. But they're usually not up front like that. They're usually quiet entrepreneurs who don't want anyone to know what they're doing. And human trafficking is so lucrative, so they get away with a lot of stuff. Now, who's at risk of being trafficked? I'm going to tell you. Everyone. Everyone, boys and girls. It's not just girls. Girls are the higher proportion by far, because traditionally people have thought that prostitution is the world's oldest profession. They should get their heads on straight, because it's the world's oldest oppression against women. And they're in modern-day slave trade. Now the world is calling it modern-day slave trade, because that's what it is. So let's go to the next slide. Now, when I went to Parliament, very quickly, I love graphs, I love slides, I love lines, nobody else does. But I have to put one in here, because all you have to look at is the second thing and notice when my first bill went through and the arrests in Canada, it shot right up to the top. So since that bill, those bills went through, it made a difference, right? Everybody's working on human trafficking now. Cops are getting educated, and there's really special units that are put together. I think they should be taken care of better than they are, because psychologically you can never unsee what you've seen. And it's a wise person who knows if they belong in that unit or if they don't. And how do you spot a predator? Let's talk a little bit about that. They can be found everywhere. They can be found in malls, schools, on the internet. The internet is a big component in luring young kids. They can be found anywhere. I was talking to a trafficker a month and a half ago, and I was saying to him, look, why in the world are you grooming other guys to be traffickers? I said, are you out of your mind? You have a family of your own. And he was telling me that he drove the new traffickers that he was trying to teach how to be a trafficker past school grounds. And he said, don't look at those people like kids. Look at them as ATMs. You know what? It's the most evil, horrible thing. And you'd be surprised who's involved in it. It's not like here in Brandon, they had 20 Johns, and I know those 20 Johns will be from all walks of life. But what they don't know sometimes is the story behind the girls that service these men sexually. And they're not easy to work with, these girls, after they've been through all that. They are not. They're crude. They lie to you. They won't tell you the truth. There's lots of things that happen because they've got Stockholm syndrome. Sometimes they're attached to their trafficker because it's the only way they could earn a living. And a lot of them have missed school. Like, once you miss even 1 year of school, can you imagine what it's like for a young girl who's missed 4 or 5 years of school? You're just out of the loop. Not only that, if you're cut off from your parents and you're cut off from everybody else, it is not easy to get back on track. Here in this building, everybody has support system in this wonderful building. You know, my greatest joy, pardon the pun, this morning was to see these little girls at the front running around enjoying church. They were having church. Toward the end, they kind of argued. One argued with the other. Did you notice that? I raised 6 kids, and I was a teacher for 32 years, so I see the signs. But they were so cute because they were enjoying church. Church was fun. They were praising and worship by running around in a circle and trying to push each other over. They were having fun in church. That's exactly what. Give this mom a hand. She's a wonderful mother. Kids have to enjoy going to church. When I grew up, my dad, mom, well, my grandma was what they call a holy roller. Do you know what a holy roller is? And she played in the church every day. And she was a real woman of God. But my dad and my mom, we went to church 3 times a week, sometimes 4. And as a kid, I was churched out. I had so many rules and regulations, I could hardly breathe. So seeing these little kids running around enjoying church, of course, the Lord always pulls you back, even though you backslide for a while, which I did. And it pulls you back in, and you realize we're saved by grace. Now let's talk about grooming. Let's go to what is grooming and watch for the signs your child is being groomed. Let's just go to that slide. Grooming is how the traffickers actually get the kids. So you're probably sitting there wondering, how in the world do nice kids actually get caught in this? And the majority of the girls, 93% of the survivors of human trafficking are Canadian-born. Canadian-born. Not from another country, folks. From the true north, strong and free. And how are they? Sure, there's some that are vulnerable and get into a bad situation. The majority, and I know all across the country, because I work in every single province. I've done it for 12 years. And in very specifically on the age issue and where they come from. We have our data. My major was stats when I took my master's, and I like to get the reports, and I like to get the stats, right? And I'll give you an example of some good stats. In Canada, way back when, the RCMP said there was about 234, that was about 6 or 7 years, 234 cases in Canada. And I was saying, what? You got to be out of your mind. Then I started looking into it. And it turns out that, number one, those reports were at least 4 years behind. And number two, they didn't have the resources to actually do, because you have to actually hire someone who has expertise in stats, you know, if they didn't have it. And so I could see, and the reports were based only on trials and arrests that were brought to court, and those people were put in jail. So then what the Women's Foundation did, which was a very good foundation, they decided to go to all the institutions or do a smattering of the institutions who took care of traffic victims. And they said, how many traffic survivors did you take care of? And they just did a smattering across Canada. They came up with 23,000. So that tells me two things when you interpret the stats. Number one, the girls aren't talking until they get into a safe place. And the perpetrators always warn them against talking to cops. Oh, how bad the cops are. I have seen cops go to a situation where if they hadn't been on that scene and they hadn't dealt with that victim would be dead. There's such a compassionate force. And all you read about is when there's a cop or two here or there does something wrong. But I can tell you the police officers in our country are something we should be proud of because they're amazing. So grooming is where the trafficker just gets her confidence. And how do they do that? Well, if you're a 14-year-old girl and a slightly older cute guy comes up and tells you how beautiful you are, and does things to you that's never been done before, and takes you to parties, and introduces you, and gives you gifts, and like gold chains. I don't know why gold chains seems to be a favorite of the traffickers. Everyone's got a gold chain. Kind of turns me off gold chains. I've got the mother bear chain. But I'm jaded. Keep in mind, your speaker up here is jaded, so just take that in. Pray for me, is all I can say. But, you know, they start giving them gifts and they get their confidence. They get their confidence. And you heard this from the young girl I brought here. She told you about how the traffickers work. Some of you are here. But it's the same old story. It's almost, I don't want to say boring. It's not boring. But we have to get that story out so the kids don't get fooled. Why do they pick on kids? Because they're inexperienced. They don't have life skills. They think they do. And if they're teenagers, they all think they do. And they tell you they do. And they also tell you where yours. But this is growing up. It's wonderful. I love it. I taught grade 9 most of my teaching career because I love that age. They're so challenging. And it's so nice when you get them. I love them to death, and I've continued that throughout my whole life. But, you know, they are easy to manipulate and easy to scare. And one thing about kids is they really care about those they love. And if the trafficker says, you do what I say, or I'm going to get your sibling, or I'm going to get your best friend, they will courageously defend that friend or that family member. And they will make sure that the trafficker doesn't get them, so they'll comply with the trafficker's wishes. I'm doing a book now. It's called I Just Didn't Know. And I have to tell you that I'm telling that story in it because I don't think a lot of people realize that, how loyal kids can be to their friends and how much courage they can have and to their siblings. You know, they love their siblings. So we've done a lot of presentations in school. Let's go to the next one, the next slide. There's been many highlights of the year, you know, where I've walked in many classrooms. And is that just blurry to me, or is it blurry to everybody? Can we brighten that up a little bit? It's probably our USB stick. Oh, that's better. Do you think it's better? Give her a clap. She's a genius. She's up there. You're never going to do this for me again, are you? No, we went to many, many, many schools all over this province, and I've just, all over Canada, actually, but because I'm in Brandon, Manitoba, I've just showed you the Brandon, Manitoba ones. And go to the next slide, please. I have to say to you that, you know, we've worked a lot with Indigenous communities and First Nations as well, because they're highly overrepresented in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and BC in the human trafficking. I haven't found it so much in the other provinces, but I have found it in those provinces. And so wherever you go, once they get educated, it's just amazing. When I was in Pegwas First Nation, you know, my family is half and half too. My son is married to an Ojibwa girl. And I just love the Aboriginal community. My best friend is Diane Redsky from Mamaway. And the intelligence and the understanding and the caring that Aboriginal people have is just amazing. It truly is just amazing. And I know in Pegwas, I could have stayed there and taught in Pegwas First Nation. Because the kids, they all came in. The teachers all said, well, we'll bring the kids in. I didn't know they were going to bring in 600 plus kids. But they all brought them in. And you know what? They were quiet as a pin. They listened so carefully. And then some of the kids didn't know anything about human trafficking. And there was about a third of them who didn't. Two-thirds of them knew a lot about it. And they told me about a family member and what happened to the family member. And so I said, I'm here today to tell you that doesn't have to happen to anybody, and I need your help. I need you to tell the other kids what traffickers do, how they lure you, the gifts they give you. You know, they lure you away sometimes from the reservation. I said, be aware. Everyone should know where you are. Your family should know exactly where you are. Because these are very well-schooled people who want to earn a lot of money off you. And this one little kid came up. He was 14 years old. Any 14-year-olds here in the room? Oh, yeah, you probably think I'm 97, but this 14-year-old came to me and said, I want to be a part of your foundation, and I will give those presentations, and I said, you're on. So I've been training him, and he's a little dynamite, that kid. Whoa, so intelligent. And so wherever you go, In Christian circles, I have found a lot of people just don't want to talk about what's happened in their family. Or if you go, members of parliament, I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but when I was in parliament, there was a parliamentarian who had 5 children, and one of the girls was lured by a trafficker, one of his 14-year-old daughter, and he came to me in a real big panic. I don't think I told you about this, did I? Because it happened not too long ago. But anyway, having said that, he said, help me, you know. So anyway, I spent 2 years ago, all of my July, helping rescue the girl, do everything. And anyway, to make a long story short, everything turned out well. We got her back, and things turned out okay. And she came to me, and she said, Mrs. Smith, I'd like to be one of your speakers. Then Daddy and Mommy came in behind her and said, no. And I said, why? And they said, because our family is an MP family. And you're talking about a solid Christian family, right? And they didn't have the courage to speak out. God gave them the courage, and their daughter was beautiful. That little girl, oh my goodness, inside and out, she was beautiful. But she was lured over the internet. And they very craftily got her. And she didn't know, she fell in love with this guy sight unseen. The traffickers were 3 50-year-old men from Virginia. And she had no idea, that poor little girl. But this is how it happens. But you know, parents have to have the courage to talk to their children. Teachers have to have the courage to really make an issue out of this. Because what we're finding all across the Canada is that survivors are coming forward all the time. And they're saying, thank you for the presentations. Thank you for the information. I broke off with my boyfriend. I saw the signs. So as parents, what do you see? As teachers, what do you see? If you see a kid with 2 cell phones, red flag, red flag, red flag. They don't need 2 cell phones. And the traffickers give them one, usually a burner, so it can't be tracked. If you see your kid come home with a gold chain or with fancy designer clothes, and they say, oh, my boyfriend gave it to me. Or if you see in a classroom, you know, kids who can't afford really fancy clothes come in with whole new wardrobes suddenly, and their boyfriend buying them things, red flag, red flag, red flag, investigate it. If in your family, you see a kid who suddenly drops all their friends. Now, there's a pattern with kids. I taught for 23 years, raised 6 of them. There is a pattern. And yes, I gave birth to all 6 of them. Ladies, that's no false feat, I'll tell you. No, I diverge. But the fact of the matter is, when they come in and they've got all these fancy clothes, and they're saying, my boyfriend gave this to me. Uh-uh. You know what? Something's really wrong there. Think about it. When you have kids going to high school or junior high school, boys and girls have crushes on each other, and some of them actually, in the end, actually marry. It's a serious relationship, or develops into a serious relationship later on. But they're lucky if they can afford to go to McDonald's and buy a burger and a Coke. Not a fancy restaurant. If there's a boyfriend that's taking them on limousine rides, fancy restaurants, red flag, red flag, stop it. Make sure you look into it, because I have never in all my years ever experienced a legitimate relationship with 2 kids under those circumstances. Kids need to be kids. You know, when they have girlfriends and boyfriends, they need to go to church. They need to. And if they don't go to church, some of them don't, you need to encourage them to pray for them right away. So your child is married to a Christian. And even that has its challenges. So in the realities of life, Pastor, you said a little earlier, You said we're going to talk about the realities of life. Well, I don't know if people came today for the Sundays or whether to listen to my presentation. I strongly suspect it's the Sundays. But you know, the fact of the matter is that we as a Christian community need to be leaders. No matter what your profession is, whether you're a teacher, a police officer, a nurse, we need to, just as Christians, that's the first thing, take up the torch and really take action. Have meetings and say, what can we do? If you ever want to form something here in Bethel, I'd be glad to come out and give you all the training. Because anything in Manitoba, I go out of my way to be here myself. Because this is my province, this is the center of Canada, and this is where God planted me, even though we stretch from coast to coast to coast now. The fact of the matter is we're training people all over the place to effectively recognize traffickers. And, you know, when you do work with a victim, they're not throwaway people. You know, they backslide, like this little girl I brought to Bethel. We call it backsliding because I don't know how else to relate that to you. But you know what? We're all backsliders at some point, and we need to pray our way back and just count on God to bless us. But one thing I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is amazing, and God watches everything we do. At my lowest points, I've got the greatest. God just lets me know He's there, and He gives me a little something to help me out. Now, the book, we have a book, I don't know whether we had it here, it became bestseller. It's called The True Story of Canadian Human Trafficking. And it was written by a wonderful Christian, Paul Boga. Paul Boga is an engineer. He takes care of the mine in Saskatchewan. His family have this big construction company. Paul and his family are just so wonderful ambassadors for the Lord. And so Paul wrote The True Story of Canadian Human Trafficking. And I remember 3 years ago when he came to me and said, I want to write your story. And I said, Paul, it's not my story. It's the survivor's story. I'm not the important part there. You have to write the survivor's story. So Paul says, well, I don't know any survivors. So I said, this is your lucky day, because I know hundreds of them. And so I said, if you're willing, I'll call them and they will interview with you. And I really didn't know if they would, because he was a man, they were women, they had bad experiences with men, but I prayed about it. So I called up people all across the country, Johns. I called up some Johns. I know the manager of a Sobeys in another province, I'll say, because it was another province. He was a John. I knew a trafficker, Donald Bouchard, and he was a very bad guy. He came to know the Lord and change his life. I think you've had him here, haven't you, Donald Bouchard? No, you should. He's got a really great testimony. But he was not on my Christmas card list for a very long time. And I knew what he was doing operating out of a hotel in Calgary, and his area was Calgary, Brandon, Winnipeg, and Saskatoon, Regina. And so he trafficked girls all across the country. They got him in vans, and, you know, someday he can tell you the story. But he told me at one point, he says, well, Joy, when I first started, you know, I didn't have much money, and I was destitute, and I had to do something. And I said, I grew up poor. I didn't sell people, Donald. And then he says to me, you're kind of hard-nosed, aren't you? And I said, no, realistic. Go get a job at McDonald's. Sorry. And he says, well, I'm really glad you said that, because, you know, sometimes I try to think I use that as an excuse. And I said, well, don't do it, because it's no excuse. A lot of us grew up poor. We didn't sell people. But God worked in Donald's life. He married the head of the mafia's daughter. But the head of the mafia and the daughter and Donald and their family all became great Christians. And he's doing a lot of great work now. So I honored him. I honored him at one of my award ceremonies, because he deserved it. And I want to encourage him, you know, because you're very skeptical about these people. It took me 10 years to come around. but he is the real McCoy. So if Paul in the Bible can be converted to stand up for Jesus and to say, my God is my God, and he was a guy who killed Christians. You know, sometimes we don't get reality down to, when you talk about reality, I love that word reality, because a lot of Christians, we as Christians don't often live in that. It's safe in the bubble. I remember going to Pine Ridge, and there were some days, I tell you folks, I was so, couldn't take another thing. And I remember coming home and going through those doors of my church and feeling, I'm safe, that's okay, you know? And I never, when I was on the job, I'll say, or whatever I was doing, I never felt unsafe, because you have a different kind of, I bet you as a cop in a bad situation, you don't feel unsafe. But if you stop to think about it afterwards, that's a different story, isn't it? You can't fool me. So, you know, you get that. And I remember coming to Pine Ridge and, oh, it was just like a port in a storm. And we need to be fed by the Word. You know, the Word, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, which is my verse for today. Because I keep talking about that all the time. Because it's amazing, the Holy Spirit talks to you. But you know what? There's another little component. You have to be willing. You have to be willing. So, you know, we're willing. And so we've had many, many blessings that way this year. This year was a pretty rough year because there were a lot of things. It was very hard on me when some of my girls, I call them my girls, I shouldn't say that, but I love them so much. They're like family. And, you know, when they backslide or when they, you know, things aren't going well for them, it was hard on me. And so earlier in the year, the Catholic community gave me the Caritas Award, which is one of their national awards and recognition. And it was just at a time when I needed it. And then later on, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, you know, the Lord gave me the Order of Manitoba. And those are just little things that, you know, I'll tell you, I'm talking about it not because I'm vain or anything or think I'm special. Don't misunderstand me. We were driving in today. Cindy and I were driving into Brandon today, and we saw the Dinsdale sign, right? I can remember a day when that sign was bright and shiny. And if you drive by it right now, the E is off, Dinsdale. And I said to Cindy, I said to her, you know, Cindy, that's like we all are. We're just a moment here. Our life is in glory. And it's our responsibility not to live as our family tells us, not to listen to what other people have to say, but to listen to the Holy Spirit as every day he guides us. And during our devotions to say, let no weapon formed against me prosper. You would not believe the things, the way I've lived. And yet, I am writing a book about it, actually. It's called I Just Didn't Know, because I used to be very bitter against people who didn't admit there was human trafficking or do anything about it. And, you know, and I expect a higher calling of Christian community. I do, because I feel we're special because we have received Christ as a personal Savior. And we have the Holy Spirit. We have the power. It's amazing, the power. So two Sundays ago, I was sitting in Pine Ridge in my nice church waiting to hear from the book of Daniel that Pastor Pearson was studying. And it was, the book of Daniel is awesome. Oh, it's awesome. But anyway, I was sitting there and I get an SOS sign. I got a thing on my phone. So I thought, it kept buzzing and buzzing. And I could feel it through my purse. I thought, I'm not going anywhere right now. Well, I landed up looking at it, and I absolutely quietly shot out of that church downtown, and there was a trafficker and a survivor, and there was a tussle between some citizens, and the girl was crying, trying to get away from the trafficker, and so I said, God, give me the words, and, you know, it just landed up. Actually, it was in a church. It was in Calvary Temple. And this Tressa Lepke, one of the parishioners, was, she'd been to some of my seminars, and she, the trafficker and the girl ran into the church to get away from the trafficker. So having said that, she felt free to call me. And it was funny because when I got there, the first thing was de-escalate the situation. Because you could tell the trafficker did not want anyone around this girl. And you could tell the girl, when she saw him, was kind of, well, things are better, maybe he's not so bad. Like, they have this Stockholm syndrome. So she goes from crying and want to be away from him to, oh, well, he's not such a bad guy. He's showing that he really cares for me. And he was putting on the show. So anyway, you know, we had a wee chat. And I forgot about Tressa. And more... And there's something about women and men and women and wives and husbands that I'm going to tell you the secret right now. Because Tress's husband was standing not far from her. I never even noticed him. I was busy. So to make a long story short, we de-escalated and I got the girl into a safe house. She had food, clothing, and they're helping her with her meth addiction right now. She told me she didn't have drugs, but I said, you better test her. She looked pretty good, actually, but she tested positive for drugs. You need to know that little element, you know, because things change. If meth is so cheap, you can buy cheap for next to nothing and get a high on it. So anyway, it was really interesting because Tressa called me afterwards, and she says, I love you. I've always supported you, but never saw you in action. Then a few minutes later, I get a call from her husband, and he tells me the truth. He says to me, you know what? I always followed along behind my wife because she was so devoted to what you're doing. He says, but lady, you got me on the board big time now. What can I do for you? You know, and he was just so moved because things went really, really smoothly. Thank you, Lord, because if it hadn't, that wouldn't be such a good testimony, would it? But it's funny how you focus in and God gives you, you know, you all have the Holy Spirit, those of you that have accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And if you haven't, do it now. All you have to do is bow your heads and say, Lord, I believe Christ died on the cross for me. Please forgive me my sins and just take me into your fold. And immediately you get the Holy Spirit. You get that gift from God. And you got the power, man. Just use it. That's what you do. So anyway, I use it. We have a new school program out for grades 5 to 7. And these little kids, you know, the average age. How much time do I have, Pastor? Have I gone over my time? Can't see the clock. Okay. 5? Okay. Can we negotiate? You know, in Proverbs 31:8-9, we always have to remember, and this is one of my favorite verses, and can we change to that verse? I know I'm popping around a little bit, but speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, like the girl that day, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and needy. And you know, victims of human trafficking are part of that poor and needy. They've gone through terrible abuse. And, you know, they told one story. She told one story to Tressa, that girl. And I said, now tell me the real story. And the real story was that she had 7 children. They were all in CFS. That piece of information didn't get out initially, but they also know how to play the system, you know. So you have to sort of sort through all of that to get them to be just straight up truthful people. And God can do that. And it's not as if they won't backslide. Some of them will, not all. And the fact of the matter is, we're not throwaway people. God never threw us away. And we have that Holy Spirit to really, really work on. So, you know I won't take much more time because I'm so privileged. By the way, we have something you were talking about, the Ride for Refuge, Pastor. I actually get on a bike every year. You should get on the Ride for Refuge website. And there's a team called Ride for Joy. That's Ride for Happiness, but that's actually my team. Ride with Joy is called. And we get together and have a lot of fun and the Ride for Refuge. And if anyone wants to join my team, I know you can't all come into Winnipeg. That's where it's being held at one of the churches sponsored there. But you all can get on the internet and put $5 in or $10 in and be a part of the solution. We put all the money toward educational programs. That youth program, grade 5 to 7, remember the average age is 12 to 14 years of age of entry into the sex trade. And it's funny about parents, and especially Christian parents, they'll say, well, my child can't hear that. They can't hear that. So what we had to do, I prayed about it, and we did everything in cartoon form. And it cost the foundation a mint to do it, but it's so well done. And it's gentle, and it's kind, but they get knowledge about a very dark subject without being scared. And that was my hardest program I ever had, and it's on our website now. Do you want to go back to that cartoon? When the designer did it, I thought, gee, that's a scary cartoon, so I want your opinion. We're just about to launch it. If you don't like it, I'm going to go in a corner and suck my thumb or something. But we had to go through so much. Okay, there's the slide. Now, who do you think might be the trafficker that's trying to lure that girl over the internet? Do you see it? Yeah. So, and I'm asking you, is it too scary to show kids grade 5 to 7? No? Anybody think yes? Oh, thank God. Thank you. Because we're about to launch it. And when you launch it all across the country, you get feedback. But it's a whole cartoon thing. And it's done very gently with a flower. But you know, I got to tell you, when a child is trafficked, when a child is groomed, and they're often groomed for pornography, that child is never the same. People will say, oh yeah, they'll be fine. They recover, and God intercedes for them. But there's always that memory. It's like cops. And I know with police officers, there's lots of things they see they can't talk about ever. But you know, with people that go through traumatic experiences, like cops see things you and I couldn't even look at. Mind you, I looked at a few things. I challenge you to look. No, but you never forget it. You know, it's there. It'll come out in a dream, or it'll come out somewhere. So we need to support those people. We need to really support our police officers. We really need to support our survivors of human trafficking. And if they backslide, or if something goes awry, we need to ask God's guidance in how to get to back again. Because really, we're all the same, only we backslide in different ways. It might be being a foodie like I am. I love to eat everything that doesn't get me first. I love food. So we all have our little things, you know, that we have to deal with every day. But I pray for you, and I thank you, and I'm so grateful for your support because of you. And because of this church and the ministry out here, I have to tell you, this has been a big, big element in producing the education that young kids need to stop human trafficking. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.